Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we continue our preparation for the Lenten season. And the church gives us these three Sundays to emphasize the three things that we should focus on during Lent, the three things to take upon ourselves. Last Sunday, we reflected upon St. Paul's chastising of himself. And we have a list of things in the bulletin on page 2, different ways that we can chastise ourselves as well, so that we are stronger against sin and so that we may also do penance for our past sins. And when we read in today's epistle of St. Paul crying out to God, "Oh God, help me to overcome this temptation," this is, you might say, the summary of the message of today. To cry out to God in prayer, to do extra prayer, to go to Mass more often, Stations of the Cross, the Rosary, better faithfulness at the Rosary, the message of prayer. So last week it was about taking penances upon ourselves. Today, more prayer, better quality prayer. Next week, we'll talk about the works of charity as we read St. Paul's famous epistle about charity. And it's so interesting to see in today's epistle that despite all these horrific suffering St. Paul has been through, I mean, can you imagine being beaten with a rod? Can you imagine being whipped, stoned? You know, not having anything to eat for days. These are the sufferings of St. Paul. He didn't take them upon himself, but they came his way and he bore them for the love of Christ. But even after all of that and his own personal chastisements, he said, "God is letting me be tempted." What was this thorn or the sting of the flesh? This messenger of Satan. Now, it's interesting that God used the devil to inflict this suffering on St. Paul. And it reminds us of the book of Job, where Satan went to God and said, "You know, Job loves you and praises you and is faithful to you because look at all the blessings, the temporal blessings you've given him. Let's see what he's like when, you know, when he has to suffer." And God said, "I will let you inflict sufferings on him." And then even to the point where Satan inflicted, you know, these terrible infirmities on Job, and these boils were breaking out all over his body and so forth. So was this the same thing with St. Paul? There's different opinions on this. Some think that this was the false brethren, the people that were tearing down his name, you know, working against him. And so that certainly happened in St. Paul's life. He talks about the perils of false brethren. That could have been it. It could have also been the physical infirmities. I mean, after these beatings and whippings that he had had, you can imagine, you know, chronic pain and suffering that St. Paul was going through. Was that it? Could be. Some also think that it was temptation, and especially temptations to impurity. And he makes it very clear. He says, "God allowed this to me, lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up. I was in great danger of falling into pride. Look at everything I've suffered for Christ. Look at what God has revealed to me." He says, "When I got tempted, it really humbled me, and I begged God, take it away." And God doesn't take it away to keep Paul humble. That's how important humility is. We have to stay humble. Pride is our ultimate downfall for everybody. There's other downfalls, but the ultimate is that pride. So God allowed these temptations. the temptations against purity. And let's go with that, because that seems to be the more common opinion of this sting or thorn of the flesh that St. Paul was dealing with. Now, when temptations come out of left field, so to speak, unasked, uninvited, in no way did we expose ourselves to danger, but it just came, then we still have to battle, no matter what. We have to be faithful. The sixth and ninth commandments command us to not only be pure in our actions, but pure even in our desires and looks. Our Lord tells us the seriousness of this. If a man should look at a woman with lust, he's committing adultery with her in his heart. So sometimes they just come out of nowhere. And maybe that's what St. Paul was dealing with, the temptations out of nowhere. And of course, being around people out in public so much, preaching the gospel, there was temptations there. He had to deal with them. It was keeping him humble as he besought God to please help me. But there are times when we are more vulnerable. And maybe St. Paul himself, he had a fallen nature too. He told us himself. So there are times when it is our own vulnerability. And I came across a list that I think is going to be helpful to consider. And this talks about 19 possible triggers for temptation. Those states that we go through where we are particularly vulnerable, and we have to watch out because these can lead to sin, especially when one is alone, when there's not the accountability, when there's anonymity. Watch out, because these are the times when that sting of the flesh may get to you. So I'm not going to go over all of these, but you'll get the idea. The first trigger, boredom. Remember that old saying, idleness is the devil's workshop? So true. Stay busy. That's one of the greatest ways to keep temptation at bay. Number two, the second trigger, possible trigger, loneliness, where sin becomes one's friend because other friends are not around. We have to anticipate these times when we're feeling lonely, so that we can not allow this to become a trigger. A third trigger, it's possible, stress. Sin is my comforter. Helps me deal with these stressful situations. Number four, frustration. When frustration is our trigger, the sin becomes our source of peace. We have to deal with frustration. That is a golden opportunity to practice virtue. And it's going to happen, as we know it happens in life. Let's see that in the positive way and not let temptation wiggle its way in. A fifth trigger, fatigue. Number six, hurt. Somebody really hurt me. That can be a trigger for sin. Betrayal. This happens in this human world. Somebody betrays you. And, of course, it's a lot like hurt. And that can become a trigger for temptation. Number eight, bitterness. You're feeling the weight of life. You're bitter about something. Something unresolved. That can be a trigger also. Number nine, an opportunity. Sin is my pleasure. Number 10, rejection. I feel rejected by somebody. Sin can then become a comfort. Number 11, failure. Sin is my success then, when I'm dealing with failures in other parts of my life. Even success itself, like the idea of reward, that can open somebody up to temptation. The sense of entitlement, or desire to please, or maybe it's even just the time of the day or the location. Negative self-thoughts. Just being out in public. So I just wanted to share this list with you, because these are the dangers. These are the red flags that we have to be more aware of in our daily life so that we are not caught unawares. And this is why prayer is such an important part of our daily life. Not just formal prayer. In formal prayer, I would liken to the meals that we have. Most people have a well-defined breakfast, lunch, dinner. And they rely on that for the strength that they need to go through the day. And that would be for our soul. Formal prayer does that for our soul. But then there's also maybe the energy snacks that people need to take or protein shake. That would be the informal prayer that we have during the day to keep us close to God, to help us be more aware of dangers that can come along our way, and certainly to not allow temptation to be triggered by something that's happening in our lives. So let us learn from St. Paul the great power of prayer. Keep calling out to God. We're weak, but remember that very weakness is our strength. Did I just contradict myself? No, it's a paradox. Because when we are weak, then we feel our weakness, then we turn to God. Later on in this same epistle, St. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. What a beautiful paradox. One of the many paradoxes in our holy faith. When we're feeling weak, remember, God is our strength. And we turn to him. And he may still allow that temptation to work at us. But like St. Paul, we will succeed because we kept praying and calling out to God. So let's make sure that this extra prayer is in our plans for Holy Lent. And it will, of course, enable us to receive that many more graces and blessings as we prepare for the great feast of Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.